Everybody knows me. I get excited pretty easy. I'm really excited about this fast of weeks. And, you know, when the Lord, before the day of Pentecost, there was the Feast of Weeks. Now, in the Old Testament, it went from the Passover, when they put the blood upon the post, and the angel of death passed over. And then it went to the giving of the law, was Pentecost, when the law was given at Mount Sinai. And in the New Testament, Jesus was the Passover, and 50 days later is when Pentecost came, when the church was formed, and the day of Pentecost. So we're in this celebration. And when the Lord gave us instructions about doing a fast of weeks, we're fasting towards going towards something. We're getting ready to step in our seventh week of fasting, and we're believing God to do something supernatural next week. Not that he won't do something this week, but I believe it's with a purpose. And one of the things the Lord was showing me in this fast of weeks, which the Lord was speaking to my heart, the Lord said this year that 2014 would be a year of change. And when I was looking at all the things around us that are about to change in the world, but God said first, what he wants to change is us. He wants to change us. So in this fast of weeks, what the Holy Spirit's been doing, the Holy Spirit's been changing my life and your life so that we can help others adjust and come into this change. We can't take anybody anywhere we haven't been. We can only take someone as far as where we've reached. And God wants to take you and I deeper than we have before. He wants to take us to a deeper level. Not that he's going to unlevel or reveal something that you've never seen before, because he always does that anyway. But he's going to set us up so that we're ready to be when this change comes. There's change that's coming to this nation. And the church needs to wake up. And this is a time where the church needs to arise and be alert and awake. And we need to be seeing and watching in the Spirit. I've said it 1,000 times in here, and I'll say it probably 1,000 more times. Everything that takes place in this world is manifested in the Spirit before it ever takes place in the natural. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. God doesn't want things to come on you and I by surprise. It's just like I was talking to the sister back here a moment ago, how the adversary gets our focus over here and over here and over there, and we really don't see what's coming, because he wants to constantly distract us. He wants to draw our attention away. So when we started this fast of weeks, we started speaking on the seven churches and Jesus' love letters to the churches. And in Revelations, in the first three chapters, this is a love letter. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 is a love letter from Jesus to his church. You know, so many times people look at it in a different way. Oh, this is doom and gloom, and this is coming. No, this is life in the abundance thereof. The Lord gave us everything. He showed us everything that was coming. So his church said, we give revelation. Now the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. The Bible says they are foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. But God reveals the things to you and I. He'll reveal the deep things of God by the Spirit of God. So as the Lord is speaking through his word, he wants us to have revelation and understanding. When you look at revelation, it's apocalypsis. It's an uncovering. God is unveiling what's coming and what state the church is in. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And through the church ages, so many times when people read the book of Revelations, they looked at it as through the church ages, but God is speaking to the church yesterday, he's speaking to the church today, and he's speaking to the church tomorrow. Amen? So as we're looking at this and we're seeing what the Lord is saying, we're to take those things and love, receive them. And if there's things that we need to adjust in our lives, We make adjustments. In other words, God's word is truth. It's a straight line. It's a plumb line. In other words, I can't bend this line to my life. He wants me to adjust my life to his word. Amen? And when God speaks to each and every one of us today, hey, nobody's here to judge anybody. You know, you may deal with one thing in your life and I deal with something else. We're all going through something. There isn't one perfect one in the room. We all just serve someone that's perfect. Amen? Amen? So as this message goes forth, if the Lord kind of gets it warm where you're at and whatever, recognize that there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Amen? That are walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And if we're operating in our flesh, he might want to bring us back to the spirit realm. You with me? You know, we started out with a deeper revelation of love. And that was the church of Ephesus. And we talked about the church had left their first love. And so many times we get off track a little bit. I don't care what you do, but whatever you're doing in life, sometimes you get off track. Sometimes you might go off in a rabbit trail somewhere. You know, and the Lord and his love is just trying to draw you back, get you back on track. You know, we talked about the church of Smyrna, and this was the persecuted church. And we talked about a deeper revelation of wealth. And the wealth was that they went through battles, and sometimes they were at the bottom of the barrel, but they were blessed that you are a child of God and you walk in the blessings of God. You know, that we're blessed, and we have to recognize ourselves as blessed. Blessed doesn't mean that I will not go through things in this life. You know, God never told us that we wouldn't go through some things. But he assures us that we'll never go through things alone. Then we looked at the Church of Pergamos. And the Church of Pergamos, we talked about a deeper revelation of life. And Jesus came to give us life in the abundance thereof. And we talked about that. And I'm not going to go into all these messages. I don't want to bore you. Here's what I want to say to you. The Lord told me to tell you. Every message in this series, you could go to www.greatestfreedom.org and you could click onto the menu, go to the menu, click on the menu, and follow the menu down to sermons. Click on the sermon and then you can pull up any sermon. You can download it or you can listen to any message that's preached at the church. So if you have missed some of the messages on the churches, you just go to your internet, click on, and at your free time and your will, you listen to the word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Amen? So we have that there. It doesn't cost you anything. It's all free. But we want to get to where we're going today. Amen? Everybody ready? My wife said something, and when Jesus was writing to the church of Laodicea, he was talking to, he left the worst to last. But you know what? What the Lord was showing me is when this worst gets turned around, it's a representation of a great revival. Because it's when his people turn. Amen? So the people that were looking in, they were everything was self-centered. They were looking at self. So before I get into this message, talk with me in Proverbs chapter 3 for a moment. I just want to go through a couple things and then we'll see where the Lord wants to say to us today. Amen? Are you with me? Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. He says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, and whom he delighteth." Now I want you to get a hold of something. As Jesus is writing this letter to the church of Laodicea, he's writing a love letter to them. That he loves them, he has grace, he has mercy. It isn't over till it's over, amen. So there's an opportunity, you know. And as we speak the word, remember what the Bible says in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for what? For doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? So what he's correcting us with is the Word of God. This is our standard. This is our standard. We're following the Word. And when I was looking at this today, I just want you the Word is going forth today, all God wants you and I to do is Psalms 26:2. Psalms 26:2. Turn there for a moment. As the Word goes forth today, don't look at your neighbor on the right side. Don't look at your neighbor on the left side. But the psalmist says in Psalms 26:2, examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins. That word reins comes from the Hebrew word kilyah. It's spelled K-I-L-Y-A. It's pronounced kilyah. And kilyah is our mindset or our demeanor. He says, examine me, prove me, try my mind or my mindset or my ways and my heart. So all we're going to do today as the Word goes forth today is just say, Lord, examine my heart. Amen? Examine my heart. So let's go to, if you're ready, say amen. Everybody ready? Amen. You set? Look with me. Now let's go to our text in Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 14. The Word of God says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen and the faithful and true witness. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul writes and says, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. So he's saying that that these things say of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You know, the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus is speaking. It's the Son. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew or I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This morning's message, I want to focus your attention to verse number 17, which says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The title of this morning's message is A Deeper Revelation of Self. We find that the Church of Laodicea was caught up in self-dependency. They were caught up in self-deception, which was bringing about self-destruction. Self-dependency, self-deception, which was bringing self-destruction. Can we ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the Word? Can we lift the Word together in the house today? Say, I believe this is the written Word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's Word says I am. I can have what God's Word says I can have. Today, I will hear God's Word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. And Lord, we're thankful that you declare that it will not return to you void. So Lord, I pray that you speak through this vessel today, Father God. I pray that Carl gets out of your way. Holy Spirit, speak through me, Father. Speak to this congregation. May they be edified. May they be exhorted, and may they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 Have you ever been doing a project and you're working on a project and as you're working on this project, you have a picture, maybe you have a picture of the finished work and you're building something and you've seen the finished work and you can't wait until that comes? That's the way the kingdom of God is. See, God says without vision, the people perish. He wants you to catch a vision of who you are in him and what he has in store for you and I, so that when we're going through this race and we're going through battles in life, we can persevere. Amen? Because the Bible says without vision, people perish. You know? So he wants you and I to catch a vision. So as we're speaking the word of God and you're seeing these and we're singing these songs and we're praising him, we got to get a revelation and an understanding that great things are coming for the church. Great things are ahead for you and I, his children. Amen. Amen. There's great and mighty things that he has in store for you and I. So in other words, he says, you know, keep your eye on the prize. Amen. So as we're going through this and we're allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, just be submissive to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. God isn't going to make us do anything. He'll reveal something to us. He'll show us something. Then he leaves it up to you and I. Amen? So as the word goes forth, just to let it accomplish what God sent it to do. Amen? Amen. You know, when I was looking at this at the church of Laodicea, you know, it was just a lukewarm church. The water's tepid. The water would make you vomit. It's just like room temperature water. It's just nasty. After it's set for a while and you go take a drink, and that's what it's looking at. This church was untasteful to the Lord. They were half-hearted. They were apathetic. They were trusting so much in themselves and not in him. They got to the place where, oh, everything seemed to be going all right. I don't need him anymore. I can do it myself. And let me tell you something. That's when people really fall. That when people fall the most is when they think that they've arrived. They get the arrived mentality. Amen. And that's where the adversary starts working on them. And they start boasting about themselves. Amen. Let me say this. That we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us, but for the kingdom without him, we can do no things. Amen? So let's begin in verse number 17 with, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Amen? In other words, they were self-dependent. They were depending on their righteousness, not the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, it's familiar, that our righteousness is like filthy rags, that our iniquities have taken us away, the Bible said, because what they were doing is they were depending on their own righteousness. And when Paul was speaking to the Jewish nation in Romans chapter 10, he spoke it so clearly for everyone to understand what Jesus is talking about in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, when he's talking about their self-righteousness. So turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Verse number 3. The word of God says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Again, for they being ignorant. Ignorance comes from the root word ignore. In other words, they were ignoring God amen, and the knowledge of God, and all of a sudden they were depending on themselves. Just think of your life and my life. How many things do we really trust the Lord for, and how many things do we trust ourselves for? There's no condemnation. God doesn't beat you up. He's just saying, you know. In other words, what he is saying, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, if we have an understanding of God's righteousness, we would see that we could never reach that level. And I would never be dependent on my own. And I wouldn't go around to try to establish my own righteousness. Amen? In other words, that's where everybody gets around and they're doing all these good things for the wrong reason. They're doing things to be seen of men and not of God. They're not doing it for God to be seen of man. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. They haven't submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You know, the Word of God said, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God didn't say for you and I that we could seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness secondly. He didn't say that we could seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness after we tried everything our own way. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, I wonder how many bad decisions and bad things we've been through in our lives if we would have took a moment to seek God before we made the decision, how we would have saved ourselves from a trunkload of trouble. But what we do is we get stuck in self. Things are going good, and I start doing this and doing that and doing this, and all of a sudden something happens, and man, where did all this come from? I'm in this trap. Is because I was depending on myself and I wasn't depending on the Lord. And see, that's what was happening with this church at Laodicea. They were depending on themselves. Our finances seemed to be working good. They seemed to have things working in their favor. So all of a sudden, they stopped submitting to the things of God. They started stopped submitting to the righteousness of God. And you'll see is there's no gray area in the Word of God. It's written in black and white. It's written in black. There's no gray area. In other words, what man has done is they're trying to bend outside of God's standard to try to fit our lifestyles and our ways. And God says, hey, you know, we as people, children of God, would never be good enough to make it into the kingdom of heaven. I can't depend on my self-righteousness. I got to depend on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm covered by his righteousness. It isn't my righteousness. It's not your righteousness. So it's another so important for us to stay under the covering. Amen? To stay under his righteousness so that when the Lord looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees the righteousness of his Son. Amen? It's his righteousness. In other words, if I'm stepping out of his righteousness, I'm in a mess because I don't have any covering. And I never would be good enough. If I would have been good enough, Jesus would have never had to die on the cross of Calvary. In other words, I need to submit to the righteousness of God. I need to come under his righteousness. Amen? So when Jesus looks down at me, he sees his Son. And that's why he calls me son. That's why he calls you daughter. Amen? Because you've been grafted into the family of God by the robe of righteousness that Christ Jesus places over you and I. And he was saying, you know, that these people in Romans 10, they were ignorant, you know, trying to establish their own righteousness instead of submitting to his. Amen? Amen. And when I look at that in Titus chapter 1, Paul says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but of them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. I don't know why I couldn't say that word. Abominable. I couldn't say that 10 times quickly. And to every good work, reprobate. In other words, In other words, what God is saying to you and I, what was taking place in this church of Laodicea, they weren't submitting to the righteousness of God. They weren't submitting to his righteousness. They were trying to establish their own. They were trying to do it on their own strength and not in God's strength. And so many times when this happens in our lives, he tells you and I in James chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, what God is saying to you and I is he gives us grace. We're in the season of grace. God's grace is pouring out to you and I. So no matter what state that we find ourselves in, all the Lord is saying to you and I is submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What happens is we try to resist the devil and we get beat up because we don't submit to God. In other words, we have to submit to him first. Then we have power to resist the devil, and the devil will flee. Amen. But if we do not submit to God in his righteousness, we're trying to fight him on our own. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've tried to fight the adversary on my own. And I got beat every time. I got defeated every time. I get broken every time. Amen. And in other words, God has established in his word how for you and I to be victorious. Amen. We can run victorious. We can walk this walk victoriously. We can walk healthy and whole. Amen. We can walk healthy and whole. We can walk as the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed say so. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. I've been paid for. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. I'm the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't have my own righteousness. Amen. I have the righteousness of Jesus. And that's all he's saying. Just as he's writing to this church in Laodicea as it was back then, it's the same today. There's so many people that are trying to establish their own righteousness. You'll wear yourself out. You'll work yourself to death. And even after you worked yourself to death, the Lord's looking at you and saying, well, who are you? Well, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you were dependent on you and not on him. You know, all he is saying to you and I is to learn from these churches that what the and love, he is saying, can't you see? Man, I want you to be on fire. I want you to be on fire. Man, I can't wait to one day when this house gets on fire. When this house gets on fire, what fire brings is Holy Ghost boldness. Pentecost was just for Holy Ghost boldness. And when this church gets on fire, there's some Holy Ghost boldness. And I'm not talking about just going to speak in tongues. I'm talking about laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm talking about kicking some demon butts. I'm talking about delivering some people that are captive and in prison. I'm talking about winning some souls to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for. We're here to be equipped. We're here to be equipped to do what God's called us to do as a church. Amen. Amen. It's just like going to boot camp. You know, when you go to boot camp, I don't know if anybody's been in the military, they're going to work you out a little bit. You're going to have to do some exercise. You're going to have to do some things you don't want to do. Hello? I remember when I went to boot camp. I have to tell this story. I went to Great Lakes, Illinois, to boot camp, and I went in the wintertime. And man, I was a rebel. I wasn't submitting to no one. Just being truthful, transparent. And I come in, and the first thing you do, I went there with long hair and a hippie, you know, just that's who I was. And so the first thing they did is they put me in the barber chair, and the guy cut around the top of my head and then made me wait till the rest of the people got their haircut. So I stood there with this. And that's what happened to my head, I think. So I went there, and then I finally went to that. And then I went to this next place, and they handed us some uniforms and started handing us things. And I got to the dwelling area there, and I come in the door, and there's this guy. He's got this piece of gum. He's on the ground. And he's pushing it around with his nose. In other words, the military, what they did is they took all your pride away so you would be submissive to them. But God doesn't operate like that. God doesn't operate like that. He'll let you do whatever you want to do. He isn't going to make anybody do anything. You know, I heard someone say one time, you know, yeah, we don't judge one another, but it's like going to a courtroom and standing before the judge. You know, if you go to a courtroom, the judge doesn't judge you. He's judging the evidence. He's looking at the evidence. He ain't looking at you. He don't have anything against you. He's looking at the evidence against you. And when God looks at you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ, it says innocent. But if I get outside of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it says guilty. Amen. In other words, if I would look at the things that I was guilty for, this room, it would fill this room. Amen. But the Lord took all of it. He said he removed it as far as the east is from the west, not to be remembered again. So it's so important for you and I to understand how powerful the blood of Jesus is and how powerful the righteousness of Jesus Christ is, so that we will not be afraid to step under his righteousness and be covered with his blood. Amen? You know, because when I stand now before the Lord because of Jesus' righteousness, he just says, not guilty. Amen. Amen. And here's the thing. When Jesus calls you not guilty, stop putting it on yourself. When you ask Jesus to forgive you, it was removed. Stop looking at the past. Amen. Stop going back to where God's done. You know, you ain't got no skeletons in your closet. The Holy Spirit cleaned your closet out. Amen. I'm putting some new things in my closet. Amen. What is he saying to you and I? He wants you and I to recognize and realize and have revelation as how valuable and how important it is. You cold? Hallelujah. Touch him, Lord. Warm up his body in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy back there shivering. He's cold. I'm sweating. He said, you'll run your mouth. I got to sit still. But this church of Laodicea, they were self-dependent. Self-dependent. Secondly, he says that, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, And when I looked at that, they were self-deceived. They had self-deception. They were caught up with self-deception. In other words, they thought they were a legend in their own minds. Amen? And so the Lord took me to Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 3, he says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith." In other words, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In other words, there was a mindset. The church at Laodicea thought that they were all that. Amen? I think the Lord said something to me last night. He said, don't compare your righteousness with your brothers and sisters' righteousness, because what you've done is you become their judge. In other words, we cannot compare ourselves with others. In other words, it's not about what I have done, it's about what he has done. And we have a tendency to look at people in a different way. Well, they got this or they got that, and all of a sudden become their critic. If a child is in the kingdom in Christ, they have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, when the Lord came into my life, and he came into my life when he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, I was in a real mess. And he delivered me from some things automatically. And as I walked with the Lord, there were things that he did in my heart and life. He renewed me daily. He did things in my life daily as I grew to know him. And what the Lord is saying for you and I is, if we would really have a revelation of where we were, that when God found us, we would see everyone as the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, because at the same time, we're all a work in progress. Nobody's arrived yet. And I think it's so important for you and I not to compare our righteousness with the righteousness of others. Hello? Amen? Amen? We're all in this together. Amen? We need to be men and women that encourage one another. There's enough tearing down in the world that men and women don't need to be torn down in the church of God. Amen. They may be dealing with one thing in their life, and you might see something that's pretty evident in their life, but there's things in your life that you have in the closet that you haven't brought out either, okay? And God's looking at all those things, and sometimes if you're judging someone else's righteousness, the Lord's going to bring some of those things out of your closet, so you'll be judged in the same manner that you judge someone else. All of a sudden, if you're judging people, all of a sudden somebody's going to begin to judge you. And they're going to recognize you as that person, that critic. God didn't call us to be a critic. We're not in Hollywood, and we're not writing stories about people and how good of a show they did or how good they acted. We're no one's critic. We're each other's encouragers. We want to encourage one another. We want to build one another up. We want to help one another. We want to bless one another. We want to do things to make them feel good about themselves. You don't have to talk about everything that's wrong in someone's life. Most of the time, they already know what's wrong in their life. That's between them and God. What you want to do is you want to encourage them. How many in the room need to be encouraged? Come on, let's be honest. Amen? Amen? So many times we want to run from the church because the same thing we were getting outside, we started getting in the church. And nobody wants to come to the church to be criticized. Amen? Amen? God wants you to come here to be loved. Amen? And wherever you're at on your journey and your walk with the Lord, that's between you and the Lord, and we're going to encourage you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to help you along. We're not going to beat you up. We're not going to tear you down. Hallelujah. Come on, can we do it? Amen, can we do it? Amen. You need it, don't you? You know, we need to be encouraged. Everyone needs to be encouraged. Amen. Amen. You know, it's just like this. Okay, oh, no, the pastor's going to talk about sin again. Don't want to talk about sin. Don't want to talk about sin. He's going to talk about sin again. He leave that sin stuff alone. Leave that sin out. I don't want to talk about no sin. God isn't talking about your sin. God's showing you his word. And what you do with it, it's between you and him. It's between you and him. And if you say, well, the pastor, you see the way the pastor looked at me and he was talking to me when he said that? I learned something early. He who lives in a glass house doesn't throw any rocks. If you live in a glass house, you don't have a rock battle. Amen? Okay, we get going. Hallelujah. Praise God. But didn't somebody need to hear that today? Hallelujah. Didn't you need to hear? The Holy Spirit said you needed to hear that. And you know something? If you've been criticizing, and if you've been critical, and you've been judging, repent. Don't do it anymore. When I repent, the Lord forgives me. Now, I still have seeds from things that are sowed. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever man sow, if he reaps. And for example, if you went to see a farmer, and the farmer has planted corn in his field, but then all of a sudden he decides he wants to plant clover. He gets his harvest in, and the next year he plants clover. But all the way through the field, what's shooting up? There's some corn here, and there's some corn there, and there's corn there. There's some seeds that were sown. There's still harvest from seeds that we sown. But as we continue to sow clover, or we start sowing good seed, the good seed will overtake the bad seed. And eventually, the corn stalks won't be there any longer. Right? Amen? So Paul says in Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And to sum up this point in Luke chapter 12, of self-deception. The word of God says in verse 16 of Luke 12, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, in other words, what God is saying for you and I, he says in James 1:22, not just to be hearers, but be doers of the word of God. Amen? In other words, we're not just to hear, but we're to do. We've got to put it to practice in our hearts and lives. Amen? In other words, Jesus, when he was writing this love letter to the church at Laodicea, he was talking about their self-dependency. They were trying to establish their own righteousness. He was talking about their self-deception. They were thinking that they were all that when they weren't, which was bringing them self-destruction. He said that they were blind and naked. And blind, he was talking about being spiritually blind. So if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, the Word of God says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness or worldliness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the formal conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust and be renewed of the spirit of your mind and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In other words, what Jesus was saying to them, that they were spiritually blind. Not only spiritually blind, that they weren't seeing, but they were also naked. In other words, they didn't have on the robe of righteousness. They weren't covered by Jesus' robe. And in Matthew 22, Jesus tells us about this robe. When there's a marriage and a parable of the king, we'll start at verse number 8. There's many bidden to the marriage that didn't come. Then in verse 8 he says, "Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." Why? Because they were trusting in their self instead of Jesus. All right? "Go ye therefore in the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment." He didn't have on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. "And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither for not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." In other words, the only way to make it for the great feast and the great wedding is by our trust in Jesus Christ alone and his righteousness. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said it perfectly in Isaiah 61 when he talked about, Isaiah 61:10, when he talks about the robe of righteousness. He says in verse 10, and Isaiah 61, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." It's Christ's righteousness. It's the garment of salvation. Amen. So what was Jesus saying? What was Jesus' counsel to the church of Laodicea? Verse number 18 of Revelation 3. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So in closing today, what is the Lord saying? He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, he says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believe, and ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So in closing, what is God saying to you and I today? What can we learn from the Jesus' love letter to the church of Laodicea? That we're not self-dependent. That we allow the Lord to search our hearts to see areas in our lives where we're depending on ourselves and we're not depending on Him. Self-deception. Not to get to that place where we think that we're all that. That all of us are a work in progress. Nobody's arrived. You know, if I had arrived, I'd already be with Jesus. I'd be too good to be on this earth. And I have a lot of ways to go when I see His righteousness and His goodness. You know, the Lord doesn't want you and I to self-destruct. See, when we're depending on ourselves, we get into a self-destruct mode. We bring this on ourselves. See, God gave you and I a will. He isn't going to make anybody do anything. He puts before us the truth. And what we do with it's up to us. You know, the prophet Hosea said it in a marvelous way in Hosea 10:12. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. For it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness upon you. Amen. Amen. And all He is saying in this, as we're fasting and we're going to this last week of this fast, that Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me ways and areas in my life where I've trusted in me and not in You. Help me to go off of that road and get back onto the path with You, to walk with You and to talk with You. You know, we serve a God that's intimate. We serve a God that loves You and wants to have an intimate relationship with You. And when I think of intimacy, when He speaks to me, He speaks to me softly, gently. Even when I'm wrong, He doesn't beat me up over it. He comes and says, did you see that? Look at that. Do you see that? And then he just asks a question. After He ministers through the Word. Well, son, how would you do that differently? How would you do that again? In other words, how would you do that now? That I've showed you and I've given you revelation. Amen? It's just like your children. When our children mess up, we don't keep them in their mess. We want to bring them out. We want to show them where they were wrong, but we want to guide them in the way that's right. And that's all the Father wants to do with you and I in our lives. He just wants to show us that He has a great plan for our lives. And the adversary has come to try to steal it, to kill it and destroy it. But He's come to give us life in the abundance thereof if we'll just trust Him. He says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Man, I'm excited because the Word of God says the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and He finds delight in His way. See, it isn't all that the world's made this out to be. Serving God is a good thing. Serving God is fun. Amen? Serving God is fun. We're going to have a Holy Ghost party in here one night or one day soon, and it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be so many happy people in the house, they're not even going to know what they're laughing about. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word, and we're so grateful that You sent Your Word here to accomplish what You sent it to do in the house today. In the closing moments of the service, if you're here today and and you do not know Jesus, or one time you had a relationship and you're not that place you once were,